Today on Real Radio.
Then he goes into another form or story of judgment. He says the angels who did not keep their proper domain, that's their sin. There were angels who, according to the Bible, sinned against God. They didn't stay in their proper domain. This gets really eerie.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the book of Revelation. Chapter 9 is really quite an unsettling passage of Scripture because it addresses the very uncomfortable topic of hell. But it is also difficult to study and to teach out of because exegetically, it introduces more terms and words and phrases that describe this everlasting punishment. Well, here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his study series called When Hell Meets Earth.
Notice here in verse 13 that the angel sounds the trumpet and a voice is heard from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Church, do you remember where that's at? That is in heaven before the throne. Do you remember the souls under the altar? Remember, they are the tribulation saints who have died for their faith in God in the preceding 3.5 years. Those are the souls that are under the altar, but a voice comes out of the altar. What is this voice? It's none other than answered prayer from Jesus Christ himself. John's gospel tells us in chapter 5, verse 22, that the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, Jesus Christ. Revelation 6, verse 9, you can jot it down, review it later. Revelation 6, 9 through 11 says that when he opened the fifth seal, he saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held, which is Jesus Christ. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a robe was given to them, to each of them, and it was said that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren would be killed as they were, until that number was completed. Interesting. Under the souls of the altar, they're crying out, "When will judgment come to the earth?" There's a response, "Just wait. Judgment will come to the earth. Your brothers and sisters ahead of you still remaining on earth that trust Christ, believe in Christ during the tribulation period, they must die also as you've died. Here are white robes of righteousness. Wait a little longer." Revelation 8:3. "And another angel came and stood at the altar," that is in heaven, "having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne of God." So we already know now what that golden altar is all about. From the altar comes a voice, and that voice has instruction. God is judge. According to John's gospel, as I read earlier, chapter 5, 22, Jesus is the judge. You know, I don't know. Again, I confess, I watch too much news, and I wind up sometimes maybe getting overcome. You know, you look at it and it's like, what is going on with this world? Have you guys, is this world nuts? Yeah. It's nuts. 3,000 plus years old. Listen to this. Psalm 2, verse 2 says, "The kings of the earth have set themselves against God." Can you imagine governmental leaders setting themselves against God? Who would do that? "And the rulers take counsel together." Can you imagine a little huddle from hell? "Hey, come on. You guys, come on over. Let's get in a huddle from hell. Let's see if we can overthrow God. He sits in the heavens and rules all the universe." "They took counsel and they gathered against the Lord and his anointed." That's Jesus Christ. And this is what they say. Psalm 2, verse 3. "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast them from us." Let's get away from God and remove him from our society. "He who sits in the heavens, though, shall laugh." Isn't that great? I find comfort in that. People are fighting against God. Oh, you know what? Like Nimrod. Remember Nimrod? He'd get up there, built a Tower of Babel, gets his arrows out, shooting God out of heaven. What a nut. I wish God would have grabbed the dirt and went, see that thing? Oh. But God had another plan. They took counsel against God. God, who sits in the heavens, shall laugh. He shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath. That time is yet coming. It's the tribulation period, the time of his judgment, and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. Where's that? We just got back from there. Jerusalem, Zion. Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem. I will declare this decree. The Lord has said to me, here it is. You are my son. Today I have glorified thee. Is that not awesome? He shall have them in derision. The God of heaven shall laugh at their plans. Now, I don't know about you, but when people draw lines to battle against God, don't panic, Christian. In the end, the Lord gets the last laugh. The ACLU can remove the Ten Commandments out of a courtroom in America. They have aligned themselves against God. God says, don't worry, I'll have the last laugh. That's tremendous. I'm sorry, do you work for the ACLU? It's not American, it's not civil, there's no liberties, they're taking them away, and it's not even a union, ACLU. The American Civil Liberties Union? It's crazy. They'll come after you if you stand for God. It's normal. But the Lord, know this, will have his last laugh. Do not take counsel against God. Psalm 9, verse 7. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in his righteousness. That's going to happen. A second thing that we see here, not only God's divine judgment is of his prerogative, but another thing, verse 14, is that God's judgment is his resource. It's a tool of his. And I know we don't like to consider judgment. None of us like judgment, but the truth of the matter is God is holy. Now, you guys, I got to warn you right now. Hang on here. This is amazing stuff. Verse 14 says, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, look at, release the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. What? Okay, is the river Euphrates real? Anybody? Ask anyone who just got back from Iraq. It's real. But listen, what's he talking about? Is he talking about, are we going to, you know, can we take like a snorkel and fins and see four angels bound in the river Euphrates? If you took a deep breath and dove down there, what would you see? Can you imagine? Hey, let's read Revelation chapter 9, verse 14, and then go swim in the river Euphrates. Of course you wouldn't see anything. It's not because they're not there. I love how technical the Bible is. They're not in the water. These four creatures, they're not in the water. They're not swimming around. And they're not hanging onto the bottom of the riverbed. They're under the riverbed. Okay, then what if we drill down there and look around? Can we take like a stethoscope and listen for them? No, it won't work that way. I thought you said they were down there. They are down there. Four of them. Where? Bound underneath the river Euphrates. That's creepy, isn't it? But they're there. How do you know? The Bible says so. Yeah, but you can't see them. Neither can you see radio waves going through this room right now, can you? But they're here by the millions, radio waves and frequencies. Microwaves going through this room. Can't see them. Are they real? They're real. But you can't see them. What about this? Angels. Can you see angels here right now? No, but according to the Bible, for all of you who are Christians, we have at least one angel assigned to our life. Did you know that? Based upon the book of Matthew and the book of Hebrews, we have at least one angel that's assigned to our life right now. Call him your guardian angel, whatever, but he's assigned to us. The Bible says that we have at least one angel that is watching over us regarding the heirs of salvation. That's us. They're sent to protect us. You say, well, man, I got in an accident. Where was my angel? Well, it probably would have been a worse accident if he wouldn't have been working for you, you know? Think about it. Well, I haven't seen him. Doesn't mean he's not real. Not only that, the Bible teaches us that there's not only angels, but there's demons that traverse through material structures as well. What am I doing? getting your eyes open to the understanding that the spirit realm, just because you can't see it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. The truth of the matter is, there's spiritual for the good and spiritual for the bad entities all around us at all times. So much so that what he's talking about here is when the spiritual world meets the physical world, two worlds in collision, as it were. Now, we're talking about the great river Euphrates and that these demon sorts are bound there. The river Euphrates is 1,780 miles long. It is the most famous river in all of the Bible. You might say, well, I thought the Jordan River was. No, believe it or not, the river Euphrates has more biblical significance in fulfillment and appearance from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. 1,780 miles long. It is in what is known the cradle of civilization. Ladies and gentlemen, look to the map. Is that not the oil-rich nations of the world right there in that region? Isn't it interesting to note that after God had created the heavens and the earth was beautiful and wonderful, but isn't it interesting to note that that area was known as the Garden of God? That's where Adam and Eve used to live in that region, the Tigris and Euphrates River. You see, you got to be kidding me. It looks like a dump. And the environment's horrible. Yeah, isn't it bizarre? After the fall, after sin, look at that area now, and it's just devastated. It looks horrible. It is horrible. But what's interesting about that is this river flows through there, and with the abundance of all of that water through the Tigris and the Euphrates, you would think that that region of the world would be extremely blessed, and yet it's not. Some people have thought, isn't it interesting that perhaps the effervescence or the demonic influence of these four fallen angels that reside under the Euphrates River has an influence over the very topography and the climates of that region. That's a stretch, but it's interesting to consider that what was once the most beautiful place on the planet is actually a horrible place today. Isn't that interesting? You know what I love about that statement, the Euphrates River here in your Bible? Is what we learned a couple of weeks ago in Israel. You can open up your Bible, turn to the chapter verse, stand in the place, preach a Bible lesson to a tour of people while you're standing in the location of where it happened. My friend, if you're a skeptic, you've got to deal with the fact that the river Euphrates is mentioned in the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation and all the way in between. The book of the Bible deals with facts. Well, the Bible says in the spirit realm, there are four terribly ornery, evil, mean, ugly angels that have fallen. They're fallen angels. They're bound. And they're held under the great river Euphrates unto a day of judgment. That is a tremendous thing. You might want to jot this down. Jude chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. Who are these fallen angels? Jude 1, verse 5. But I want to remind you, though you once knew these things, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. What's that called, anyone? Judgment. And the angels, circle that. This is amazing. Wait a minute. There's the unbelieving Jews who would not believe, who were judged, that came out of Egypt, right? Then he goes into another form or story of judgment. He says, the angels who did not keep their proper domain, that's their sin. There were angels who, according to the Bible, sinned against God. They didn't stay in their proper domain. This gets really eerie. But left their own habitation, their own house, their own abode. For example, we're humans, we breathe air. Where can you find us? Living above water. We don't go underwater without assistance. Are you with me? What is our abode? Our abode is this terra firma, this earth. Keep that in mind as we go through this. That these angels of old, they departed from where they should be living. They sinned. It says here, that goes on, that he has reserved, God has reserved them, look, in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. That's a reference to the latter half of the tribulation period. So now we see this puzzle coming together. We've got now, we know four angels under the river Euphrates that are chained, they're bound. Book of Revelation says so, as does the book of Jude. They're very, very nasty, evil, and mean. they've done something that is weird because they disobeyed their natural habitat. They went and did something. They went somewhere that was not authorized. And for this, God bound them up and he's held them under chains. They're not free to run around like Satan is. Satan's free to run around. These four, they're not. Watch this. Verse 7. As, circle the word as, he's teaching us something. If you want to understand what I'm saying more, Jude is saying, consider this. Like or as Sodom and Gomorrah. How come he didn't mention Chicago and New York? How come he didn't mention Tel Aviv or Haifa? Why didn't he mention Babylon and Jerusalem? Anybody? Why did he mention Sodom and where? Gomorrah. Why Sodom and Gomorrah? They had a certain kind of sin that they're famous for. You know what I'm talking about? Okay? And the cities that were around them in a similar manner to these. Bible students, circle the word these. In Bible interpretation, the law of understanding is this, that in verse 7, these, I hope you're being a good Bible student right now. You got to circle the word these and draw a line over to the angels that did not stay home. That's who he's talking about. Okay, like Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them that were judged, right, and all that stuff, these, the angels, having given themselves over to sexual immorality. What? They went after strange flesh, are set forth as an example of suffering and vengeance of eternal fire. What is he talking about? X-File, Twilight Zone. Weird, freaky weird. If you get nervous, just whistle. This is interesting. The book of Jude says that there were angels who disobeyed God. And for this, by the way, they were booted out of heaven. They're so bad that they're bound under the river Euphrates, chained, never to be loosed until God's divine moment of judgment. What's their sin? They went after strange flesh. The word in Greek is heteros. Heteros, where we get heterosexual. What is heterosexual? For two people of opposite gender of the same kind to procreate. Did you get that? It's the procreation of the same race, but different gender. Heterosexual. That's a good thing. God says a man shall leave his home, a woman, her father, the two shall become one flesh. And they have babies and all that wonderful stuff. Right? Good thing. What's interesting about this is the angels that did not keep their proper domain, they somehow got engaged in some sort of sexual deviation. They went after strange or hetero flesh. They went after flesh that was not authorized for them. They went after something that was of a different kind. Now listen, God says, whatever they did here, they're chained and they're reserved for the day of judgment. They're exactly who comes out of the ground in Revelation chapter 9. Oh, there's more. Genesis chapter 6, turn there if you will. Genesis 6, beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass when men, that's mankind, began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto the men, or mankind. Okay, time out. How do you get mankind? How do you get men? You can't get men without having daughters in the earth. Are you with me? Why? Because women bring forth people. There's a lot of people going on before we ever get to Genesis 6. Am I scaring you here? Okay. Anyway, even if you were scared, you wouldn't say so. So anyway, I'll just keep going. Whatever's going on is of such a horrific sin that God says these angels who have perpetrated this sin have got to be bound. They can't be loosed. They'll freak out humanity. In such a way, watch this, that when men and women have babies in Genesis, that's normal. But all of a sudden, there's a time when men and women have babies, and there happen to be daughters of these families who, look, Genesis chapter 6, verse 2, that the sons of God... I challenge you to do an Old Testament study on the sons of God. It is exclusively reserved for angels. Angels, exclusively, not humans. sons of God saw that the daughters of mankind, that they were beautiful. That's creepy. And they took, circle the word took. The word took in Hebrew means this. It means that they mingled with humanity. They just kind of stood there like this. Hi, how are you? Don't pay any attention to us. Which is interesting, because what does Scripture say? That we need to be careful as believers, that we do not be rude to strangers, because in blessing strangers, if we bless them, we have what? We have unknowingly ministered to angels. That's where angels can come, and maybe there's one sitting next to you right now. Who knows? Yes, he is. He's so wonderful. I thought, I'm not talking about him. But apparently not like demons. Demons need someone to possess. Angels, both fallen and righteous, can come and go as they please. Manifest and then go away. Demons need a statue, an animal, a human that's vacant of the Spirit of God that they might inhabit. That's why demons are always looking for something to possess. Very, very weird. So here's, listen to this. These sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they mingled with the intent to rape, capture, or to steal them. And by the way, in Hebrew, we already know that these women were already wives. They were captured and stolen by these sons of God to take them unwillingly of the women to be their sexual encounter. You say, you got to be kidding me. I am not going to go far at all in this one direction. It's not good for you to go. But those of you who came out of a satanic worship system in Satanism and the occult, I don't need to tell you about succubus and incubus and those practices. You know very well about those practices. And it is thousands and thousands of years old. The drug-induced, waiting upon a familiar spirit of manifestation whereby sexual acts take place with a spirit entity that leave behind physical manifestations on a human body. Psychologists to this day try to explain that. They don't understand how these marks appear upon a human's body. And yet it's been going on for at least 6,000 years. If that didn't freak you out, then I don't know what will.
The evil that men do. As explained by pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. What we've heard today on this edition of Real Radio is just part of a study series of Revelation chapter 9. When Hell Meets Earth is the title of this series within a series. You know, if you've recently paid a visit to realradioactive.org lately, you may have noticed that we're extending our offer with the 4-CD series called Jack Hibbs Prophecy Update. It's still available to you for a donation of any amount. On 4 CDs, Jack Hibbs Prophecy Update deals with the unfortunate affairs taking place in the Middle East right now. It tells us what we need to know as believers, that is, from a biblical world and life view. That's on CD number 1. Number 2 addresses this most recent jihad, the term that Muslims attribute to holy war. And finally, CDs 3 and 4 answer these questions: whose war is this? And what is Mystery Babylon? So for Jack Hibbs Prophecy Update, you can visit realradioactive.org and it'll tell you more about it and how to get your own CDs. Again, realradioactive.org. If you'd like to give us a call, you may do that as well, area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.